Shalom. Not quite as sure how to respond to that one, but grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ. And I'll just say it this way. Thanks for coming today. Means a lot to a pastor. Went for about 15 months here and looked out and hardly anybody here. Let's remember how recent that was and how much of a blessing it is to be together. And thanks for watching as we welcome both in-person congregants as well as those who are tuning in to our live stream. And this worship service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. My name is Mark McCormick, and I am proud to say that I am the pastor of this beloved community called Mayflower. And I'm joined by the faithful and talented members of our worship team, productioneer, and special musicians today, Leslie Timmons and Nick Morrison, and our liturgist is Jerry Fuller. So, wherever you are and whoever you are loved, accepted, and blessed, and we are blessed by your presence. Now, the theme today is Jesus and sibling rivalry. So, in preparation for that, I want you to think of a sibling you can't stand. We have some siblings here today, so thought that might be a good way to get it going, or that you might have some historical difficulty with. I don't want to shy away from what that theme kind of stirs up in our minds. You might already know that it's the story of Mary and Martha today, a very interesting story. So, following a week where I conducted 3 memorial services, vacation couldn't come at a better time. So Deanna and I will be leaving on Tuesday morning for Providence, Rhode Island. It's a 2-day trip out there. We'll be staying with our friends in Stonington, Connecticut before we drive to the Providence Airport on Thursday and pick up Andy and Stacy and family. These are Deanne's son, daughter-in-law, and their family, their complete family. Can you believe a sophomore in college still wants to go on vacation with old people? We took a vacation in Seattle some years ago when I was out there doing tours, and the kids, when they were much younger, said they enjoyed it so much and they're ready to give it another round. So we would be going to places in Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, including Nantucket, where Fred Rogers lived. So, we are leaving you in good hands, capable hands, as my brother-in-law, Reverend Dr. Paul Patton, will be sharing from this pulpit next Sunday. And if you've never heard Dr. Paul before, I will tell you that he always has a surprise in store. So we will return just in time for the Lugnuts game on August 5th. And if you are one of the lucky ones to get tickets, those tickets will be available next week. And also, if you need a ride to the Lugnuts game on August 5th, if you are at the church at 5:30, we'll make sure you can get to the game safely and join all who are there. Looking forward to that. I remember, just as a note, when I came here in July, when I first came to this church visiting in April of 2017, Roger was announcing the game, and I was so confident that the Lord was going to install me here as pastor that I paid tickets before they even voted on me. But I thought, if they didn't vote for me, I'd just come anyway and enjoy it. So, we do welcome Leslie Timmons and Nick Morrison today. They've come from a long way, and they have some very special music in store for you. And a big thanks to the Mayflower congregation for the celebration of our 5th anniversary as pastor and spouse to and with this congregation. That was a lot of fun, and it was highly appreciated. As always, there are more opportunities for our fellowship, worship, and fun in the coming weeks and months here at Mayflower. Stay tuned. Let us now worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
It never gets old to look out and see the beloved community gathered in person and online. Welcome to worship. Today's theme is based on the well-known story from Luke's Gospel, where Jesus was entertained at the home of his dearest friends. There was some trouble between siblings as Martha expressed her indignation that Sister Mary was chatting with Jesus and wasn't helping in the kitchen. We will explore the nuances of sibling rivalry, the perspective of Jesus, and how that translates into our own families, including our Mayflower family. We trust that this theme will sharpen our ability to understand personality differences, the various gifts and abilities we all possess, and that we will always treasure the opportunities to worship our Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. His spirit has brought us together as one. Though we may be separate, we're one perfect whole, for we are his body and he is our soul. We are the blessed receivers of his inexhaustible love, and so it is out of
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we rejoice in this, another opportunity to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the diversity of personalities, gifts, abilities, and perspectives represented within the beloved community. Sometimes even brothers and sisters in Christ can experience sibling rivalry, just like Mary and Martha. Help us, O Lord, to find perspective, grace, acceptance, love, and sometimes forgiveness to and from each other. We thank you for the opportunity to experience more of what we need when we gather for worship. So continue to bless and inspire us in our worship through the gifts of music, scripture, prayer, and the spoken word. This we pray in the name of your beloved. Amen.
Well, you probably saw it in your bulletin. Did you recognize the style of that music? Do you ever have the blues when you come to church? I think if you have the blues, the church is a good place to be, right? Yeah. And without making too much light of it, Roger, of course, related, told me this morning the subject is sibling rivalry. Sometimes that gives us the blues, right? Thank you for that lovely number. Well done. Well done. Well, we have an army of people in this church to give, who love to give of their time, talents, and resources in so many different ways. However, if you're a visitor, your presence in our service today is your gift to us. But if you came prepared with an offering or a continuation of a pledge, there are receptacles at both entrances of the sanctuary. But now let us together celebrate God's gracious gift of love to us as we now offer our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we come again as we gather for worship and think about our prayers that we offer together. We continue in the long laundry list of needs around the world that seem to plague our minds and cause confusion and despair and fear and doubt, even about our trust in God, as we pray for an end to the seemingly endless string of gun violence, to the wildfires and hot weather that have caused the deaths of many people, to the refugees for whom we care and love and feel we can't do enough about it, for those that bring harm and violence in so many different ways in this world, Lord, we pray that in our prayers you would give us more faith to believe that in our unanswered prayers you still care. Help us to believe that even as we pray seemingly endlessly. So, Lord, we turn that around and thank you for the things that come our way that are good and wholesome, and things that we are happy about, like the rain that has fallen in the last few hours. Bring more of it, we pray, Lord, if it be your will. Help us to know that there are many struggling farmers around the world who have suffered through drought and loss and wonder if they can even go on. So with our blessings of food and provisions, we ask that you would continue to help us to keep it all in perspective, that we shall never be isolated in our blessings, but that we shall be active agents in the world, helping to bring about change and relief, as well as food and clothing to those in need. We thank you that you have given us the responsibility to care for those in need locally. And so, among many others, we continue to pray for Bev Miller, Jane Robinson, Tyson Gallegos, Jen Hall's nephew, Camden, the family families of Marion Potts, Howard Brighton, and Bill Quick. These and many other requests and needs we share by mentioning first names on our heart out loud right now. And George. And now we pray together the prayer that we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. In this well-known story of Jesus, in the home of his close friends, Mary and Martha, there is a tendency to think of Mary as the one who really got it. Rather, this is a story about two sisters whose sibling rivalry got in the way of understanding the balance between service and worship. Hear now these words. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our rock. Amen. Well, it's a joy to have my sister, Chris Kimmick, with us in the service today. And as far as I know, there's not much rivalry between us. I don't think you'll have to talk to her about that. By the way, I forgot to announce for anyone who might be new to our service or unfamiliar, we'd love to see you in our Friendship Center, which is that way after the service. And our hosts today, Bill and Sue, have prepared some goodies for you. But it is a joy to have her. She is staying with us for a couple of days after her husband, George, was placed into a memory care facility this past Friday. So, Chris, it's good to have you here. Deanna and I are trying to make it easier for her. She's staying a couple days with us, and today you're going to make it easier for her. Now, she is an identical twin, and some of you have met her twin. I have a picture of that twin on my desk, me and the other twin, and so Chris was seeing it this morning and said, why am I not on your desk? Maybe there is a little sibling rivalry there, but not between me and her. But she and her twin sister, Karen, have a wonderful relationship, but I do have some interesting memories. I remember arguments and sometimes things being thrown around in the front room where they stayed together, trying to decide what clothes they were going to wear and whose clothes they were going to wear. There was sometimes big disagreements, I remember, emanating from that room where that was their bedroom. I also remember the time in grade school leading up to the annual May Day celebration in a little town called Orrville, Washington, where one of my sisters was elected queen and the other a princess. Go figure that one. Sounds like a little sibling rivalry. I'm not going to tell you which one was queen, which one was princess, because, well, I don't know if my other sister is watching. And when they were in high school, they both competed in the Miss Branch County competition. That would eventually lead to Miss America, right? Well, it was picked up by the Detroit News as identical twins were competing for the coveted title of Miss Branch County. One finished as runner-up, the other as second runner-up. Sibling rivalry? After a recent application for a birth certificate, there has been a discussion in our family about who came first, baby A or baby B, which was on the original certificate. And it looks like there's some question about the one that thought they were the firstborn. The other one says, no, it was me. Well, that discussion goes on. And there is a modicum of humor about that, but it's been an interesting discussion in our family. When it comes to sibling rivalry, I think, based upon my close-up observation as a family member and the only boy with five sisters, I have to tell you that twins have it the hardest. They really do. People make far too many comparisons between the two. When they were all the way up through junior high and high school, people used to go down the hall and they would say, hi, Chris or Karen. How's that for personal identity? They did look alike. People make comparisons, but this also applies to all sibling relationships and comparing how each child might resemble a parent. I'm always a little uncomfortable when I am in the presence of two parents and one child is given the quick comparison of one parent and I'm looking at the other parent thinking, what are they thinking? You ever thought about that? Sometimes we need to exercise a little more sensitivity. Comparisons can seem to be innocent, but this is dangerous territory as we learn to value the uniqueness of our personalities, abilities, interests, and gifts God has given to each of us. And I'm here to tell you that my twin sisters with their personalities are as different from night and day. Sibling rivalry, however, is a normal part of family life. Older children become jealous of the attention the younger siblings receive from parents and other adults. Have any of you experienced this on your own or observed it in others? When a new baby is brought home, older children feel betrayed by their parents and often become angry toward them and later toward the intruder who is usurping their position. Jealousy, resentment, and competition are most intense between siblings, as I read this week, if the siblings are less than 3 years apart. Once a new baby is brought home, it is normal for an older child to feel hurt and resentful at seeing the newcomer receive all the attention from the parents, other relatives, and friends. Some children regress developmentally, temporarily losing such attainments as bladder control, clear speech, or even weaning in an attempt to regain lost parental attention by becoming babies again. And somehow, I don't think that that is exclusive to very young children. While sibling rivalry and resultant fighting is fairly normal for children, it can damage or destroy relationships, sometimes lasting a lifetime. And I hope this has spurred some thought with you as some of the stories I will now share. I will hope to do that even further. There are many historic examples, some rather close to home. There's a celebrity that grew up not too far from here in Rockford, Michigan. If I say that, anybody know who it is? It's Madonna. And she had a brother, Christopher, who worked closely together with her as she launched her career. He was her assistant, stylist, and artistic director at one time or another, but the two stopped speaking right before the 2008 memoir was what hit the shelves. It was called Life with My Sister Madonna. The rather intimate information about Madonna's ex-husband, kids, and career, among other things, didn't sit too well with the material girl. The feud lasted a few years, but fortunately, Christopher reported in a TV interview that they were back to being brother and sister again in 2012. I don't know what's happened since. There was another Michigan sibling spat that never resolved, and it happened in Battle Creek. That might give you a little hint. John Kellogg was 8 years older than his brother Will. The elder sibling was, in his day, one of the most famous physicians in all the United States. Dr. John Kellogg was, by 1904, a best-selling author, edited a health and well-being magazine that boasted millions of readers. He was also the owner of the Battle Creek Sanatorium. You ever seen that big building that is on the north side of Battle Creek? I saw it this week. I did a funeral within its shadow. A health spa and a hotel that boasted notable luminaries such as Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, and even Amelia Earhart. John employed younger brother Will as chief of staff for 25 years, although he was never given that title and was paid quite poorly. He constantly bullied his younger brother just as he had done when they were kids. As a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, John was obsessed with well-being and good health. He was determined to stamp out bad habits and made it his mission to ensure Americans ate a whole grain diet. For years, he had tried to perfect wheat flakes, but then he tried corn instead. The result was a hit, but while the elder brother saw John saw health benefits, the younger Will saw a business opportunity. He then quit his job with his brother John and set up his own company. Some of you probably had Kellogg's cereal this morning. Kellogg's Cereal Company was born, and as you know, it became hugely successful. John became jealous of his little brother's success, however, and started a company of his own. So to protect his business, Will then sued his brother. The court case ripped the family apart as the judge sided with Will, even though John was a famous physician. From that time on, the brothers only rarely spoke. And when they did, they argued. John was known to try to build bridges, but Will was not interested. John died in 1943, a few months after one of their most bitter arguments. Before his brother died, Will admitted he regretted the way that his relationship with his brother had turned out. Well, another bitter sibling rivalry included Edwin and John Wilkes Booth. You know John Wilkes Booth, but you probably don't know Edwin. He was the far more famous actor of his time, and some critics even today say that Edwin Booth was one of the greatest stage actors of all time. Most of the family were staunch Northerners, while John was a diehard Southern sympathizer. Could it be that the jealousy of his brother's success and fame might have led to the assassination of President Lincoln? Some history scholars believe it to be so. Many of us have never heard of Edwin Booth. We have certainly heard of John Wilkes Booth. Finally, does anyone know who Eppie Lederer and Pauline Phillips are? They're identical twins? Well, yeah, you got it. They are the columnists Ask Ann Landers and Dear Abby, or Ask Ann. Both of their careers began in the 1950s. Pauline once allegedly offered to write Dear Abby in a column in her hometown newspaper for less pay if it promised to not print Ask Ann. The twins were never the same after that. They could never bury the hatchet, and apparently the decades-long feud continued through the twins' children. Successful careers do not change the fact that when sibling rivalries extend beyond childhood, they can become insidious. My grandfather was involved in a dispute with his brother, my great Uncle Bill, when they were in college. They both fell in love with the same girl, Muriel. You can understand that's a real recipe for sibling rivalry. I suppose one of the most intense. She was friends with both and had been on dates with each of the brothers. She finally made her decision, and it wasn't my grandfather. He found another wonderful woman who became my grandmother, but Grandpa never gave up his resentment, and we were largely prevented from knowing the other side of the family as a result of their dispute. I have met some of them after they were 90 years old, that lived 25 miles from me as a child. Sibling rivals in the Bible began pretty early. What's the first one? Cain and Abel. Their rivalry ended in the death of of one of the brothers, Abel. There are many other examples, including that of Rachel and Leah, who were both in love with the same man. Jacob and Esau, who sought their father's attention. And Joseph and his many brothers. Some of those tragic rivalries were never resolved. But when they did, the path of resolution was always forgiveness. That should say something about how relationship-damaging rivalries of any kind are ultimately resolved. And I would go on to say that even after death, it's never too late to forgive. One lesson I immediately gleaned from this scriptural narrative is that little frustrations and petty differences between those we love are the seedbed for lifelong resentments that can only lead to regret. For goodness sakes, as much as it lies within you, don't let pettiness rob you of the ability we all need to have to be forbearing, understanding, and forgiving if we want to sustain relationships of any kind. We trample upon the grace of God when we so easily forget the grace, forbearance, and forgiveness offered to us by the person we say we follow, whose name just happens to be Jesus Christ. Jesus walked straight into a sibling rivalry. Now, we are given scant details. There's only 4 or 5 verses here. And we can only speculate about some things, but we can clearly see personality differences. 2 basic types of personalities have been named for these 2 sisters. Are you a Mary or a Martha? At the risk of being too trite or simple, you can easily see that Martha was a task-oriented person, while Mary was a people person. Jesus walked in, and then he weighed in. When he did weigh in, it began a theological debate that has gone on for centuries. And the debate centers around the balance between service and worship, listening and doing, the contemplative life and the active life, or deacons and elders. We could also include the differences between the business side of a church and the spiritual side. These debates often turn into factions and fractions within the church, and they can foster a we-they dichotomy. It need not be, nor should it be. Now, in reality, neither woman comes off very well here. Jesus chides Martha for her unnecessary anxiety about things that are only a means to an end, but nonetheless important. And Martha makes a deadly relationship mistake by inspecting Jesus to solve a problem she needed to address with her sister. How many times have you either received or made a telephone call to try to get somebody else to solve a relationship problem? In psychology, that's called triangulation, and it never works. It never works in resolving a conflict with a sibling, a parent, a child, a friend, or a church member. What Martha might have done differently was to say, "Hey, Mary, we're going to enjoy a meal together with Jesus, and if you can peel the potatoes for me, it'll speed things up a little." For Mary's part, her voice is silent, and it should not have been. What we might have liked to have heard from her is, "Hey, Martha, do you need any help in there?" While no one questions her love and devotion to Jesus, she could have been a lot more sensitive to the situation. It is important to note here that it is not Jesus who raises the question, it is Martha. And Jesus' response was about her distractions, not about her personality or her interests or her gifts. While this story seems to invite us to take sides between the sisters and the values and roles they represent, this is not a situation of either or. It should be both and. As Americans, unfortunately, we are living in a time where everything is black or white, Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, Southerner, Northerner, West Coast, East Coast, and that list goes on. That is why we are in the mess we are in, because we never tend to see compassionately the other side. So if we are totally honest with the text, We have to come to grips with a subtle but important nuance. If there's anything we can learn from what seems to be most important to Jesus, it is that everything else we do stems from the worship and love of God. I will tell you, hopefully not boastfully, that at the Mayflower Church we put much emphasis upon the worship experience. Doesn't mean we go for an hour and a half, but maybe it's more difficult in a shorter time. Our style, our music, and our traditions will not necessarily appeal to everyone, and we understand that. But everything we do stems from our devotion to God and our determination to follow Christ. That is why I share worship themes as best I can, and sometimes a little later than I should, but with our worship team. That is why our musicians, like the ones who played this morning, rehearse and practice diligently. That is why the template for the bulletin is distributed ahead of time to those who will be participating, so that we all are prepared. That is why I devote significant time preparing sermons when I could be doing other things that might be considered productive for a minister. That is why we offer an online experience so others can tune in who are not able to be here. That is why our services are recorded, so Sunday morning is not the only time that people can experience worship. That is why we carry the spirit of worship into the time we sit at the table and enjoy the presence of God with the people of God. So help us, God. That is why we go into our council meeting, yes, even in a spirit of worship. When we do, the entire life and ministry of the church is integrated into our love for God, our love for others, our concern for others, both within and without the church. In this context, and with these things in mind, sibling rivalries turned into gratitude for the diversity of creation, the gift of understanding, the unity of the church, and the necessity of forgiveness. Thanks be to God. My God, thy will to see. I think it would be important at this point to say that as we've been thinking about this morning, there are for all of us relationships that are sometimes almost too difficult to bring resolution. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have something to do in our hearts. And when forgiveness happens, it always happens because someone's heart is open. So as we go now, illumine us, O Lord, with not only our eyes and our ears, but with our hearts. Go in peace.
Can you take a compliment?
I'll try.
Barb does such a good job of taking the paragraphs that I give out ahead of time. Sometimes when it gets close to the deadline, I get a little prodding from her. But her choice of hymns is so great. And the beautiful music that we enjoyed from Nick and Leslie, we appreciate so much. They've come a long way for this, folks. And remember, Nick was on our prayer list when he... You look like you're doing good, right? It was with your leg, right, Nick? Well, it's good to see you. Feel like the Lord has answered some of our prayers. So, as I look around, this is a pretty good-looking group here, folks. It's really a good... And yes, I was talking about you, Eugene, too. So, there are some people that are here, at least one or two, that I don't think I've ever met before. So, you know, a pastor's supposed to do that, but we are all ministers. We're not all pastors, but we're all ministers. So find somebody, either in the sanctuary or when we head to the Friendship Center or before somebody leaves, to just reach out to the extent that you are able. In the name and Spirit of Christ, go in peace.